Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Paris.
Well, hello, Tyler.
Hello, Paris Hilton. How are you?
I'm amazing.
Hashtag girls on the grind.
Always. It's how we roll.
It is. Is that hot?
That's hot. So are you.
Thank you. It is such an honor to be here with you today. When I found out that I was going to get to meet you, I about had a stroke.
Really?
Just right there. Just almost killed over. So thank you for having me.
Well, I feel the same way because I've been wanting to meet you and I was just like, oh my God, I love what you do. And it's really just amazing. And you have such a gift and it's just an honor to have you here at my home.
Well, thank you. It's a beautiful home, beautiful day. We're going to have a good conversation.
Thank you. Where are you from?
Originally Central California, kind of near Fresno. So a lot of agriculture, a lot of prisons. It's very quaint.
And you live?
In LA, at Hollywood Hills currently, and I'm moving out towards Malibu.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah.
My husband and I just got a new house in Malibu.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's such a vibe.
It's so relaxing and beautiful.
So peaceful. I used to live there on the beach in Latigo Shore area. Mm-hmm. And just when you come home, the ocean's right there. I feel like it's such a cleansing force, you know, yeah, for our energy. So.
Yeah, I think we both definitely need it because I could see with you, I could relate how people, it's like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of like energy people around like vampires almost sometimes that like suck my energy away.
Sure.
And I'm sure with you having to do what you do, that must be so draining.
Energy is such a thing. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when we hear the word like empath, they relate to being empathetic. And I think most people are on some level. But in jobs where you're interacting with people, whether it's interviewing or DJing, right, that's such an immersive job. You're connecting to people's presence, their energy. And so I think that, you know, it's important to have certain mechanisms to kind of clear our energy, whether that's solitude, sometimes, you know, separating ourselves from certain environments. It's essential.
So you believe really, like I feel it too, but it is a true thing. Like people can take your energy.
Well, I think certain people might not be compatible with our energy, right? I kind of consider it to be like akin to cigarette smoke. So if you're not a smoker and you go into a group of people who all just finished chain smoking, if you leave that group, you're going to smell like cigarette smoke, even though you yourself don't smoke. I think of it as very similar. The people we surround ourselves do leave an imprint on us, and we leave an imprint on them consciously, subconsciously. And so I think that's kind of speaks to the importance of intuition. The more connected we can be to our our own intuition, the more we can really objectively gauge what we resonate with and what we don't.
So for you, can you see when people have good or bad energy right away?
You know, I've learned to not limit it to that juxtaposition of good or bad. You know, even in my work, I've dealt with some very tragic, very heavy, very sad situations that led to a lot of hurt, you know, and often in people's lives. But I've learned to not villainize them. And my job has made me very not judgmental in understanding that we are all human. We all go through things and nothing human is really foreign to us. So I definitely tend to get a vibe of kind of whether I resonate with someone immediately or not. And I think you can relate to it too. We all get first impressions, right? When we shake somebody's hand and sometimes people give us an ick and we got to trust that feeling because that really is our inner sense.
Yeah. I feel like I have like psychic powers too. I don't know. That's something that my grandmother did too. And she always said that. And I always feel like I've predicted things before they've happened. I've seen in the future. I think that's why I'm an innovator and someone who does things first. Like I always have like, I don't know, like seen into the future and can feel like my grandmother a lot with me all the time. And I'm just like fascinated by this whole world. So it's just like to be someone who's like so respected and like you are just like, I'm so proud of you and what you're doing and just using your gift for good and really bringing people peace to know. I know I was just watching some of the things you've done and just like the parents to know like she's okay and she's watching and she's still here. And that's just like a really comforting feeling because I was so scared always like what happens after you die? Like I was always like, what if it's nothing? It's just like darkness and that would be so boring.
Just insufferably boring, wouldn't it?
I can't like, that's so scary. So to know that that's not the case and it's I don't know, we live on.
Well, I really believe that consciousness fundamentally does continue on in whatever form. You know, I certainly don't claim to have all the answers, nor do I think anybody does. But my work has shown me and validated that there is this continuation of life. There is a continuation of love. We are so much more than what happens to us in life. We are so much more than ultimately how we pass, you know? So I think it's important when we think of our loved ones who've died, as easy as it is sometimes to think of them and maybe be sad that they died or how they passed. They want us to think of them and smile, and that be our first kind of inclination versus being devastated by how they passed. And of course, that's a process that we all get to in our own way, but you know, I try to just honor their lives because we only have one.
That's true. What has there been any stories that have really touched you?
You know, they're all evocative. Every reading gives me an insight into people's lives. And you being a celebrity can relate to the celebrity experience. And on my first show, Hollywood Medium, I sat with over 200 celebrities. And then on my new Netflix show, I sat with a bunch of everyday people and traveled the country and connected to some really profound stories. And that dichotomy was really interesting to see between public figures and everyday, you know, people. And I think that has been really meaningful. One of my most profound readings was with RuPaul Charles. Fabulous person, of course, by
icon.
Nature. Icon, absolutely. But that was somebody who I, being a gay kid in a rural place, you know, used to look at him on TV and think, wow, okay, there are people who kind of get what I'm going for. And then to finally meet him as an adult and be able to give him healing around the death of his father, something he never thought he'd get in this lifetime. It almost went full circle. He helped me as a kid without realizing it. And then I was able to help RuPaul as an adult.
Wow. That's magic. I love RuPaul.
Have you met much? Have you with RuPaul?
Just like around, just from being in the industry, and I'm sure. I'm friends with Gottmik, so I was doing some stuff for the show to support.
Love that. Loves it.
Loves it. Yes. Did you watch The Simple Life?
Oh, of course. I watch it before I go to sleep at night, me and my partner, and I just laugh every time. It is timeless. People will watch it in 100 years and still laugh.
Thank you.
Iconic. You're a visionary. You saw it coming. Mm-hmm. Did you see the success of that show at the time that you did it?
It was the first of its kind. There was no reality show, so there's nothing really to like learn from or even know. I was like this unknown world, and my whole family was like, no, you're Paris Hilton. Yeah. You're not doing a reality show. Yeah. I'm like, Nikki, they want us to do it together. My sister was like, I'm not being on a reality show. Like, no way. Yeah. And I just knew, I was like, I think there's something here and this is something special. And I don't want to, I'm someone who doesn't really follow rules and I like to do my own thing. So I just went for it and had the time of my life. And I'm so happy that I did it with Nicole, my best friend since I'm two, because it wouldn't have been the show like without that, because it was just like two best friends going and just doing all these crazy things. And it's like, you can't write that. You can't invent something like that. It's just like so real. And it was just incredible. And now it's like started this whole new genre of celebrity and this whole reality show culture and pop culture and selfies and
absolutely. And you were an innovator through it all.
Absolutely.
Well, it's incredible. That show really was, I think, the right time, the right place, the right people, and that chemistry you could feel on screen. So.
Thank you. Yeah, my husband and I have been watching it like during the pandemic.
I just laughed.
It was just so many memories being brought up.
I'm sure. And I'm sure some of the things that didn't make the cut make for some fun stories.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. Definitely.
I love it.
So when did you discover that you had this gift?
Well, this kind of started for me. My first inclination of it was when I was 10 years old. I grew up in a very conservative household. You know, we didn't talk about mediums or psychics or any of that. But I woke up one night when I was 10, and I just had this knowingness that my grandmother was going to die. And at the time, it just felt like something I knew. It felt almost like a memory that hadn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And so it was really confusing. But at 10 years old, you know, you don't really think much of it. So I rolled out of bed after I had woken up with this feeling, and I went into the room to try to explain this to my mom. And she was in there, and she was like, okay, Tyler, calm down, you know. And we were interrupted by her phone ringing. And she said, okay, hold on. She picked up her phone. And as she did, I remember first her face changed, and then she started weeping because it was my dad calling her in that moment to tell her that my grandmother had just died right in front of him.
Oh my God.
So that was an immediate validation of that initial feeling, but it took a lot of time to really understand that these brief moments of knowingness could be used as an ability.
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because so many people do relate to that feeling of having premonitions. I know you spoke to yourself feeling inclinations of the future, and you know, it does happen to us, and often around births and deaths.
And for your mother, what can you tell our listeners about that story?
Well, you know, my mom definitely didn't know how to process what I had shared with her. You know, we were very close. My grandmother and I were very close. And so my mom just kind of assumed this was a one-off thing. But then I started reading kids at school and getting impressions about teachers. And I would share them, and they would share that with my mom. And then, you know, that was quite a situation. So I was telling teachers about their marital issues, students about their parental drama very early on. And it was very intense.
So you could just like literally like like see into people's lives in the present or the past or future, or like how?
I never had any control over it, and I still don't. So it either just kind of either happens or it doesn't. But very often it would be about things regarding the past, and then sometimes things even going on like the morning before. There was one situation when I was in middle school. I was washing my hands in the bathroom, and I heard the door open from behind me. And I turned around and I looked, and it was my childhood bully. He had watched me go into the bathroom, and all of his friends were kind of running into the room to follow and beat me up, basically. And this had happened to me before. And on this particular occasion, I turned around and I looked at him, and these words just left my mouth. I said, "Your aunt knows that you were crying with your dad last night, and you need to leave me alone." And I just said it. Mm-hmm. And his friends looked at him, and he looked at them, and then he ran out of the bathroom. His aunt had died a few days before, and he had been crying with his dad privately that night. So it was really intense validation in the sense that it did help me fend off bullies at times, but very, very divisive, you know?
Yeah, sir. Kids are so mean in school sometimes.
They are, absolutely. And you know what? We kind of, I think, can both relate to, you know, in the sense of being public, I feel like a lot of those kids often don't grow up.
Yeah.
And then you deal with, you know, being controversial and all of that. So it's an interesting world.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Those kids turn into like the trolls on the comment section, sitting there like being mean all day.
Yes,
like,
they become columnists.
It's really sad.
This is Paris.
Bean Dad, the dress. 30 to 50 feral hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle?
I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature. And of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when people come through to you, you said you can feel it through your five senses.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever, like, do you ever get scared?
I used to get more frightened earlier on when I was a kid, and it would happen. I would get a very intense physical pain. And so in one particular case, I remember I was reading a woman and I felt like my throat was going to close. And as I was explaining this to her, she's about ready to call 911. It ended up that the person I was bringing through for her had actually passed away of throat cancer. And so when I got that validated, the feeling left. But I think the best way to understand my ability is to kind of understand that the sixth sense works through the other five senses. So when I do a reading, I'm not seeing dead people walking around. That would be terrifying. If anything, I just kind of have trained myself to enter into an altered state of consciousness where I'm just hyper aware of any changes that go on in my mind and in my body. And those changes are generally indicative of like a message or something I need to relay. And if I do my job right, I can take that sensation and turn it into a message. And then that gets validated by the person I'm connecting with.
So have you ever like seen anything like in a mirror or like in a photo or...
So funny that you say that. In my new Netflix show, Life After Death, which just came out, we actually experimented with building a room dedicated to trying to connect with the other side. And it sounds a lot creepier than it really was. It was the equivalent of like a prayer closet. But I created this whole space and I used it to try to, you know, connect more fluently. And the validations that came from it were really intense. So I really think it's more just about mindfulness. I think everybody has the ability to connect to that intuition. It just is a matter of eliminating the blocks that stop us from connecting to that innate sense of who we are. And so for some people, praying helps kind of connect on a deeper level. For me, building a room and looking at a mirror was just a way of kind of letting go of all of the stuff going on around me and just focusing my intention on trying to connect. So it's just a tool.
Have you ever done the Ouija board?
You know, as a kid, I did. I don't, you know, really have many strong opinions on it. I think it's important to put out good energy. I think there's more productive uses of people's time. And I kind of liken it to, you wouldn't, you know, open your front door and just let anyone off the street in. So why would we do that energetically, spiritually? Yeah. And to me, that's kind of what Ouija boards are. It's saying, oh, anybody here, come on in, let's connect. And you don't know what the integrity of that consciousness is going to be.
Yeah, I did that once when I was a teenager. My friend came over for a sleepover, we went to our friend's house and she brought one. And I was always so scared of them because in movies, it's like so scary. And then she made us do it and I didn't want to be like not cool. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And it started like moving and they all said they didn't do it. So
right.
To this day, I don't know, but I don't know. It's just something that I just get so scared of those Ouija boards.
I totally get that. And I think when it comes to spirituality, our spirituality shouldn't scare us, right? So if there's something that scares us, we don't need to do it necessarily, you know, in that realm of the paranormal. I think so often with spirituality, people are kind of worried. They're like, okay, well, if my loved ones are around, are they watching me constantly? And there doesn't need to be that fear. You know, our spirituality should invigorate us, should make us feel comforted and protected. And I agree with kind of staying away from things that might not give us good feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I always think about too. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like taking a shower. Like, are they watching me?
You know, I think they have bigger concerns in the long run. I've learned from the other side that from what I can glean, they seem to realize that really nothing human is foreign to them. You know, we're all human beings. We all live, we all die. And they don't seem to be really hung up on those things that just make us, you know?
So do you think that certain like spirits stay around to protect?
I've wondered. I seem in my work to only connect to individuals who seem to have made a full transition. And I call it a transition because it seems to be a process that they go through. And some, you know, people do report having like hauntings and ghosts and things like that. I don't really connect on that realm. So if there are like earthbound spirits, I don't really tend to connect with them.
So there's spirits that are here and in other realms.
That's the belief. Yeah.
Do you believe in bad realms?
You know, I'm open to it. I try to avoid when I talk about the afterlife, the phrasing of like heaven or hell, because those are such loaded terms, right? Even the word God is so loaded, right? When we think of God, we think, okay, bearded man in the sky. I certainly believe in the possibility of maybe more negative realms, but from what I've been able to glean, the transition process seems to be one of self-reflection, introspection. It doesn't seem to come from a place of judgment as much as it's a place of self-analysis. And I believe that's what we all go through when we pass. So it doesn't seem to be punishment-based, more just reflective-based, how we lived, how we died, what we did, what we didn't do, and ultimately finding acceptance through how we lived and passed.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I do, but I don't necessarily think the soul is a singular unit. So to me, the soul is probably more complicated than we are really giving it credit for. I think it probably exists in many places at once. One thing that's interesting I've learned in my work is time doesn't seem to really apply to those on the other side. They're not limited by a 24-hour day. So it then begs the question of, you know, is reincarnation a process where we live and die and are reborn? Or is it possible that you could exist now, you could exist simultaneously 100 years ago, you might exist 50 years in the future? I know it sounds nuts, but I think the soul has gotten so simplified that we think of it as this kind of mechanical birth, rebirth, when it really could be a lot more complicated.
Yeah, for me, I think about it. I'm like, it sounds cool because then you get to like live again, but like, yeah. I would rather be me as Paris, the ghost, forever. Like, I don't want to like be, I mean, imagine if you're like, I don't know, like an ant or like something, that, right. Like a bee, and like someone kills you like right away.
That's lame.
No. And then your ghost is like that. Like, I just want to be me.
Yeah.
forever.
Have you ever had any past life memories or any like phobias or anything in your life where you've been like, wow, I wonder where that's coming from because I can't place the cause in my current life? Anything that's ever came to the surface?
For me, I've had like psychics tell me like you've lived other lives, like you were a queen, like you were Marilyn Monroe.
Naturally.
You were like this goddess of something. I'm like, they always say all this to me. So
interesting.
Like, I wouldn't mind being all those people. That
you know
sounds
what?
Good.
You and I both.
Save the best for last.
That's though. Right. Absolutely. We're not coming back.
Yes. What do you love about LA?
Oh, the weather. I mean, that's such a generic response, and I'll ask you the same question, but I travel for my work. I do a live tour across the country. I'll go to like Schenectady, New York, and I'm like, you know, it's freezing cold, and we really have it made here in California. So that, and then I think the men here in California, I just can't beat them.
All the hotties move here.
They all come from their little rural hometowns in, you know, Illinois or whatever. There's a lot of hot men in Illinois. Just
that's
so
where
we
my
know.
Husband's from.
Oh, well, bam. Psychic, hello. I saw it coming.
I said I wanted a Midwest boy who came to LA.
You
perfect.
Found him. There you go. But I'm telling you, they send their hometown's hottest to LA. And then everybody's an aspiring actor. So it works. It works. It's fabulous.
So I heard you have a new boyfriend.
Oh, a new boyfriend. Well, we've been together for 5 years.
Oh, sorry, so. Not new.
No, it's okay. You know what?
I'm not looking at the questions because I'm just like reading it. So I know it's Clint.
It is Clint, as in Eastwood, yes. And 5 years together. So it's been something.
Amazing. Yeah,
I feel really lucky. You know, I think one benefit of having a good intuition, and I'm sure you can relate, is, you know, you get a feeling for whether someone's the right fit or not. And sometimes you got to go through, you know, a couple situations to find the one, and that's the beauty of being able to kind of connect to that.
Yeah, I feel like I learned that intuition over years and years of trauma.
Sure.
And then finally being ready for the nice guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, divine timing too, you know, so I'm a big believer in that as well.
Yes, so, timing is everything, yeah, I really believe.
Absolutely. For success in all ranges, from career success, love success, timing's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is this considered Slivington Manor or is it
Slivington Manor?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all like the other house of Slivington Manor. This is Slivington Manor again.
Part two.
Yeah. And then I have the Sliving Spa downstairs.
Oh, a lot of
I'll show you after. It's
a lot
sick.
Of slives. Mm-hmm. It's reincarnation.
That's how we do it.
I love it.
You sliv, you live.
Sliv, you live. Trademarked, I'm sure.
Obviously. Do you have any like lines that you say that are trademarked?
You know what? No, but when watching the show back, people are always like, you always say, well, that'll be that. People, when you are, and you can relate to this having a TV show or just being in the public, like people pick up on things that you do that you don't notice you do. And then people are like, oh yeah. So I made up words apparently on my show. Yeah. It's really incredible. They will notice if a hair is out of place.
Yeah. They notice everything.
Yeah. With your, do you ever find new catchphrases just kind of manifest into your visionary consciousness?
Yeah, like that's hot and loves it. I've said forever and I love them. Then I will say them forever.
Yeah, no, they're
but
natural.
I needed a new, I didn't need one new one. It just happened naturally on Halloween. I was walking into this after party and I was just so happy and I was so sick. And I just like looked at my friends like, Sliving! And they're like, what? And I was like, I was trying to say like slaying and living my best life and killing it like in all in one word, and sliving came out and they were like, that's the sickest word. And then I like trademarked it and then it was in the Urban Dictionary and now it's like a lifestyle and a movement and everyone's saying it.
Gay rights was born in that one moment. Paris Hilton single-handedly, she threw the first brick at Stonewall. Paris Hilton.
Sliving. That's always living my best life.
That is so funny.
What would your, so if you're going to, if you get a tagline, what's it going to be?
You know what? Well, see, I gained weight over the pandemic. About 30 pounds.
Hot.
Thank you. But I don't know. I'm like medium gone large.
Medium gone large.
MTV. Oh, I'll be like the 900 pound medium, which is just ironic in and of itself. TLC better call me after this. And then I can just read people in my little... A little, just, you know, vibing, just vibes.
Got large.
So there's that. If, you know, I could lose weight, be a small medium, but that's less interesting.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to work on catchphrases. I definitely don't have the visionary energies like you, so I might need to consult.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll consult with you on, like, the afterlife or afterworld or before, what is it called? Afterlife?
Afterlife. You know what? Hey, it's all life to us. I remember when you, on The Simple Life, you did the psychic thing. That was funny. That was hilarious. I think you were probably more psychic than the lady.
Yeah.
But that was entertaining.
So for you, like, do you have to deal with that? Like, people who are haters? Because there's so many people who take advantage and they pretend they have the gift and, like, they take advantage of people and they're con artists.
Sure.
So it gives, like, other people a bad name, I feel. So, like, how do you deal with the haters?
I think it's important to be skeptical, and I actually embrace skepticism. I think that in this industry, it's unregulated, and so there isn't, like, a board of commissioners that you can, like, go apply to be a medium for. You can't really get a permit to be a medium. Anybody can do it or claim to do it. So I think it's actually beneficial to be skeptical. Anybody who's legitimate will not be afraid of people asking questions, of you being like, okay, break it down for me or explain this. So I think it's just important, you know, for those who are interested in seeing a medium to just ensure that they're doing everything they can to get a direct recommendation from someone that they trust. You know, if you think of it as a practice, I view this work as being like a practitioner. I view it as something very serious. And just as you wouldn't, you know, walk into a neon sign for $5 and expect, you know, $1,000 experience, it's good to take that in mind that, you know, through word of mouth is typically the best way to see a medium.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely do your research.
Yes. And through someone you trust, it helps to know somebody who had firsthand testimonials.
Out of everything that you ever learned in your life, what was, like, the most surprising part?
Ooh, the most surprising part, I think, just for me, really, the fragility of life. You know, I sit with people who've gone through such extreme loss and how quickly life could change. And I've learned the importance of saying it now while I still have the chance. I tell my mom I love her every single time she leaves my house. My boyfriend, I make sure to, you know, never go to bed mad if we're having a little tiff. It's taught me the importance of seizing the moment in every way that we can, because so many people that sit in that chair in front of me are sitting there because they have regret for either what went unsaid, what went undone. And so when we can live life more mindfully in the here and the now and validate the people in our lives, you know, make sure things aren't going unsaid, make sure they're not going undone, then we save ourselves from having future regret. And I think that's, for me, the most empowering message I've gotten from my work.
And what's your favorite part of what you do?
I love the surprise, the reactions. You know, you never know what people are expecting or what they think about it. And so sometimes I find reading skeptics is actually easier than reading hardcore believers, because the bar is kind of a little lower with skeptics. They're like, okay, what can he tell me? And then something will come through and then you see this whole transformation happen. Whereas hardcore believers, sometimes they'll sit in the chair and they're like, Tyler, I know how amazing you can, you know, I know how great of an experience you can give me. And so the bar is very high and I suddenly have to kind of meet that expectation. So it's always a challenge. It's always something new, and it's always a surprise.
So sitting here with me now, do you feel anything, or I don't know?
I would have to whip out the notebook, but I will definitely talk, because I definitely feel like there's some good things to discuss. But we'll make some time. We can do a little notebook scratchy as you see me do on my show, and then we'll see what comes through, because that's kind of how I turn on and start connecting to some of the deeper things. But I have no doubt, you know, all your loved ones are so proud of what you've done, and being able to take your life story and honor that. There's such power in storytelling, and what you've been able to do through bringing awareness to your survivorship has inspired so many people. And I think if anything is a testament to the power of storytelling, no matter where we are socioeconomically, whether we're celebrity or not, we can really change other people's lives through honoring our voice. Mm-hmm. And that spreads far and wide. That echo might, you know, affect people you don't even realize in the here and the now. So keep it up.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. It's been just the most empowering and just important and impactful time of my life. And I just feel like I've found my mission, and maybe I was put through this, like, by God and given this gift so that one day I could use my voice to stop it from happening to other children. And you know, the fact that I've changed laws now in 7 states, and now going back to Washington, D.C. in 2 weeks, and I will not stop fighting until change is made.
Amazing. That's really what it's all about. And just a side note, intuitively, one thing good to keep in mind is I do feel like when you sat down, I kept getting my symbology for publishing, literary, that kind of thing. So just keep this in mind over the course of the next 2 years, you might have the chance to release something from a publishing perspective. So think like book, something we would write and then release, but on a larger scale than even we've done in the past. So something to think about.
I'm writing my book now. I just wrote the first 300 pages.
Amazing. Yeah, you're going to crush it. And it's things like that power in your storytelling that really is changing the world. And good on you for using your platform. You know, it would have been so easy for you not to. So the fact that you did is even more commendable.
Yeah. It was something I was never planning on ever discussing because I was just, you know, so traumatized that I didn't want to think about it. I wanted to bury it. And then it always came back to me, my nightmares. And maybe that was for a reason too, so I could finally go and make a change, because the nightmares, they didn't stop. And it was every night where I was like back in those places and it felt so real. And now since I've been making change, like the nightmares are gone. Yes. I sleep, like I don't have the insomnia. Like it's just like changed my life in every way. And people come up to me on the street and they're just like, you changed my life. Like nobody believed me. Now my family finally believes me. Like I feel so validated. Like just thank you for telling your story. And that's just been just the most important thing. Like I've done a lot of things in my life I'm proud of, but this is like by far the most thing.
Absolutely. Well, and clearly the effect of it is so widespread. And I wonder if your intuition was communicating to you by having those dreams, maybe on some level, as a way to bring it to your conscious mind, as a way to say, hey, you know, we need to look at this and there's an opportunity to help people with it. So good on you for noticing that, you know, you could have just ignored it and kept having nightmares.
Yeah. I think before I was just so concerned about, you know, kind of projecting that perfect life to everyone, because in Hollywood, like, they make you feel that way. Like you have to be perfect and everything needs to be this. And, you know, there's so much power in being vulnerable and real, and because no one's perfect and we've all been through things, and it helps others when you can be vulnerable and tell the truth, because everyone, not everyone can relate, but there's a lot of people who will relate, who will mean a lot too.
Absolutely. That vulnerability is so key, to be able to honor that in ourselves. I think it inspires other people to open up. That's huge. Wow.
What are you working on now that you're most excited about?
Oh, you know, well, I just had my most recent book, Here and Hereafter, came out this month. And then I had the new show, Life After Death, on Netflix. And I do live tours across the country. So I stand in front of thousands of people and do readings and audience settings. And that's really fun. It's really nerve-wracking and a big challenge as a medium. But that's where I feel like I get to do the most amount of work in the smallest amount of time. So I get to touch on all people all across the country, and, you know, as you know, traveling the country to rural places, it's amazing the different cultures and the stories, and you see the differences, but also the similarities. It's really fascinating.
Which place are you excited to go to on the tour?
Oh, I like to go to rural places. Like, I like, take me to like rural South. I went to Biloxi, Mississippi, I performed at. As a medium, it's pretty ballsy because, you know, hey, it's Mississippi, but it was cool. It was cool to get to travel there, and I'm, you know, hope to go back, but to be able to go to places where people might not have access to LA, and maybe they need to, you know, be exposed to that conversation around grief and loss. So I like to come to people.
Yeah, I was in Mississippi for The Simple Life. We went all around there, so.
Oh,
it was fun.
Yeah, humid, for sure.
Yeah, the food is so good.
Yeah, love the food. Is soul food, are you a soul food person?
Yes, I love, it's so good.
Yeah. Fried chicken, okra.
I'm
macaroni
obsessed.
And cheese.
Yes.
We got it going, okay.
I love it, I just love eating food that's good. I don't know. It's just how I am.
Yeah. Comfort food. Absolutely.
It makes you just feel happy.
That's right.
Do you cook?
No. Not one of my many talents. No, but I can burn water, and that's about the extent of it. So.
That's hot.
Do you cook? I watched a YouTube video. You were sent something.
Yeah. Yeah. Sliving lasagna.
Yes. Do you enjoy cooking? Is it something you...
It's fun.
It is fun. It's about the experience, right? It's the journey, not the destination.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah.
I travel so much now that I don't have time to cook like I used to, during the pandemic, I just like was loving to cook.
I love that.
And my husband loves my cooking, so it was fun.
There you go.
Does Clint cook?
He better than I do. He went to culinary school briefly, so I use him for his sauces. He just can make a sauce for anything, and I'm like, oh, don't get lost in the sauce. I'm so dumb. Oh my God.
That was cute.
But yes, no. Yeah, I don't know. I like to eat. I'm more of an eater than a maker of food.
I'm both.
Yeah. You eat it and make it.
Yeah.
I love it.
What sign are you?
I'm a Capricorn. What about you?
Aquarius.
My mom's an Aquarius. Mm-hmm. Good solid salt of the earth.
We're fun.
That's right. That's right. Do you resonate with your astrology sign?
Yes, I'm obsessed.
Fully.
Yeah, I completely believe in signs and astrology and horoscopes. And
gotcha.
It's like crazy how real it is for mine, especially.
Have you looked into your partner's horoscope as well to see if they're compatible?
Yeah, we're both Aquarius.
Oh, okay. There you go. Mm-hmm. A lot of. I always thought it was a water sign, but apparently it's an air sign. I didn't know. Aquarius? Isn't it an air sign?
I don't know.
I thought it was
water too, because aqua.
Yeah, you would think, right? But I think it's an air sign. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It wouldn't even make sense because, it's a fish, but I think it's an air sign.
Yeah, like a unicorn, like me.
That's right. Flying over the rainbow. I love your interior design.
Thank you.
I aspire to have, well, I wish.
Yes.
In my next life, I want to come back as Paris Hilton. That's all I'm saying. I have to be reincarnated.
I love
you.
Let's
do this. Or your dog. One of the two.
Yes. Yeah, my Faye Resnick is my interior designer, and she did it so chic and so beautiful. And then I came in and like put all the neon signs and like everything. She's like, Paris, we're supposed to shoot this for Architectural Digest. Like, what did you do to my designs? I was like, I parasized it.
It's in a state of paracelsis.
Paracelsis.
We're working on this.
Like looking everywhere. I'm like, yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh, that is funny. Well, look, if I were as beautiful, I think I would be having photos of myself everywhere equally.
I just love it. Like, who else am I going to have up? I have Marilyn. It's me and Marilyn only.
Okay. So fashion inspiration, women that give you, you know, a sense of like, aspiration. Mm-hmm. Who would those women be for you in your life?
Marilyn Monroe, obviously. Okay. Grace Kelly. Princess Diana.
Heck yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love Princess Diana.
Love.
Bummer.
I know. It's fucking paparazzi.
Bummer.
Like, ugh.
I know.
It's like, it was so preventable.
I know. And you know, I get asked about conspiracies and people are like, JFK, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know. But I think Diana, that was some weird, there's some weirdness there with that passing. I think there was incentive for her to, you know, be taken out. So I hope that didn't happen, but I wonder.
I know.
Sliving.
Non-sliving.
Non-sliving. No.
Do you believe in them? Conspiracy theories?
Not so much. Typically not, just because I think, critical thinking, logic, reason. I'm big on that. But simultaneously, you know, I don't know. Sometimes things happen. I'm sure they exist. Things happen to conspire here and there every now and then. So I'm open-minded.
And what about aliens? Do you believe?
I do believe in aliens. I think there's too much evidence out there from the UAP phenomenon. It's for me, unidentified aerial phenomena, to indicate that it's real. The Pentagon released some really interesting videos that they were able to capture in the past couple years. So ufology is definitely getting more credibility in recent years than it has ever before. So it'll be fascinating to see.
I know. I think I am an alien.
You know what? The visionary you got it going on. You might be from a different planet. Have you ever seen a UFO?
I feel like I have. I've seen things that like look like UFOs that are like flying and they look huge and round and it's like lighting up.
Yeah.
So I think they are. I don't know if it's like a drone because there's like drone paparazzi sometimes too.
There are. It could be that. I took an edible once. I thought I saw one. I was like, it wasn't. It was completely identifiable, but that was life.
Yes. Yeah. And what is like, what is, when you were like little, before you knew you were psychic, what did you want to be?
I wanted to be an archaeologist, which I feel like is a pretty par for the course answer. What about you?
I probably wanted to be archaeologist too, and I was like 7.
Yeah.
Because I would love the class when we would like dig it and like find the cool like fossils. Like that was so cool. And I still like love doing things like that. But
yeah. Archaeology. Just in the day to day.
I'm turning into archaeologist.
That's right. Just in the backyard.
/DJ/
Love that. You should have ran for president. You'd be an amazing president.
Thank you. Paris for president.
Paris for president.
Make America hot again.
Hot again. Absolutely. I love it. We are very diplomatic. I've watched you watch What Happens Live and you're always so poised. I admire it so much.
Yeah, I've been in this business a long time and you learn all the tricks of what they're trying to do.
Yes, dodge, pivot. You're amazing.
What did you get shy when you first started doing interviews? And
I'm still shy. I'm still so shy.
I'm so shy too.
I get excited every day when I get to go to an interview like this. I'm always like, oh my God, this is my life. And I would never want to lose that childlike sense of wonder and that sense of giddiness. And I think when people lose it, you know, they become very jaded and cynical. So for me, I love the excitement and I feel so privileged to be in my position.
Yeah, I'm such a kid at heart too. Yeah,
you got to hold on to that because that gets lost as people get older and at the sacrifice often of their own happiness.
I know. It's, yeah. I'd be so, I don't know. It's not. It's boring.
Yeah. Some people don't let themselves go through those childlike emotions, you know, and sit with them. So,
well, at least we're kids at heart forever.
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
This is Paris.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 feral hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters. The theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, chief marketing and growth officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is 7 Slitting Questions.
I'm ready for all 7.
Let's live.
We're sliving.
Cigar. What is your go-to dance move?
Go-to dance move? Maybe a plank? Is that a plank? Is that a dance move?
Is that when you just like lay there?
Yeah.
Dance.
That's my new dance move. Just to play. Just
isn't that when they like lay across the table?
It is, and I think that embodies my ability to get the groove on. Really, I'm just let me lay there, leave me alone, check on me every 30 minute, make sure I still have a pulse, give me a little cup of water. I'm Gucci.
Yeah,
that'd be my dance move.
Okay, I like it. Yep. What is your spirit animal and why?
Oh. I was going to say Nicole Richie, but this is awkward now. No, spirit animal. Oh God, why is that such a hard, honest? Oh no, I should have came prepared.
Mine's a unicorn.
Yours is a unicorn, which mm-hmm. is very apt. I think I would be a golden retriever if I were a person.
Why?
Or an animal if I was a person. I am a person. I'm actually a golden retriever and my spirit animal is Tyler Henry. So now the cat is out of the bag. Next question.
I love golden retrievers.
Me too. I am one. You're making my tail wag.
Yes. Next one is, how long does it take you to get ready?
Oh, like not that long. I mean, at the end of the day, when I'm done putting my makeup on, get the hair, I look in the mirror and I go, this is as good as it's going to get. And then I walk out the door. So I try my best, but yeah, I'm not a miracle worker.
What is the worst date that you've ever been on and why?
Worst date I've ever been on was with a guy. He came over to my house and he tracked mud in through the front door on his shoes. So it's like, we're off to a great start. And then he's a journalist. And so he, on the way there, called me. He's like, oh, I can't come over right away. And I was like, what's wrong? He's like, oh, someone just got murdered and I have to go like on the scene to like report this murder. And then I'll like come over to your house. So I was waiting all night because someone got shot. And then he finally showed up, tracked dirt in through the house. And that was it. So that was kind of a bad date.
Okay, that sounds brutal.
Yeah, nothing like, you know, a homicide to really set the tone for the date.
Romantic.
Yeah.
That's not hot.
Not hot. Not at all.
Are you a FaceTimer or a texter?
Oh, when people FaceTime me, it's they go on my list. If people FaceTime me, I'm like immediately nope. And then I don't know. FaceTiming is the worst. I don't know why people think they can just FaceTime me freely. Mm-hmm. It seems like something needs to be scheduled, planned. I need perfect lighting and I need, you know, the full makeup on. So yeah, no FaceTiming. People feel entitled.
I know.
To it.
A lot of people always try it. I'm like, dude, yeah. I like don't even like speaking on the phone. I like to text.
Right.
And like FaceTiming, like, no.
It's way too immersive.
It's like really early in the morning too. I'm like, are you crazy?
Oh, when they're in other time zones and you're like, it's 3 a.m. and I'm like eating Cheetos. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Same.
No FaceTiming.
I like texting.
All right. We'll just text each other.
And voice noting.
Yes.
So I'm lazy to text. So I usually like do the voice memo thing or voice note and then I like text for you.
Yeah.
Spells everything wrong.
It's the worst. And then my thumbs are so fat. I have like the Megan Fox fingers, like the thumbs, where I'm like, I'll hold the voice note little memo to try to do it. And then I'm like sending six different messages.
Or it goes off, it like stops and then it erases.
Yes.
Oh, I want to die when that happens after a long one.
Yes. And you're like, I was committed.
The beach or the mountains?
Oh, beach. Beach, beach. What about you?
Beach.
Beach. Any reason why?
I love ocean. I love sand.
Yeah.
And I love swimming and I love surfing. And
dolphins.
I love all of it. I love just going on tropical vacations.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it's just the best. Water is so therapeutic and restorative and represents our subconscious. Mm-hmm. So it's a good place to be.
What is your favorite beauty tip?
Favorite beauty tip? Just use lots of scotch tape to pull the face back. That's why I look 12. No, I'm just kidding. Favorite beauty tip? Oh, girl, I could take some beauty tips. I think I could probably be better off receiving them than giving them. I would say, I say this as my hair. It literally looks, I got a haircut recently. And so now I look like the coolest eighth grader. Like my hair's like growing out and it looks like.
That's cute.
I don't know. Be mindful of your flyaways. That's what I would say. Greatest beauty tip, be mindful of your flyaways mm-hmm. because all it takes is one and then people are watching you and it's all they're focused on as she's looking at my flyaways. So thank you very much.
You have cute bangs.
Oh, you know what? I grew them myself just for you.
I love them.
Just for this event.
They're hot.
Thanks.
And your last living question.
Uh-oh.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Go-to karaoke. Africa. Yeah. by Toto. Not actually, but the visual of that would be hilarious of me just like, yeah, singing Africa by Toto. Do you know that song?
Yeah, it's Africa.
That was a rough rendition.
Africa.
Africa. Is that how it goes, Paris?
I don't remember.
Like all the trees in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that one, you know.
Oh,
anyway,
yes.
What about you? You surprised me here. What would you do if you had to do a karaoke?
I always do Betty Davis Eyes.
Okay.
And yeah. Stars Are Blind, obviously.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Okay, I'm inspired. Mm-hmm. For my next karaoke, I'm going to think of you.
Thank you. Yas.
Yas. Paris, this has been so fun.
So much fun.
Thank you for having me so much.
Thank you, and I can't wait to do a reading with you.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have a good time.
We'll do it.
And sliv.
We're going to just be sliving now through then and beyond.
Loves it.
Thanks for listening to This is Paris. We love hearing from you. So leave us a review. Send an email to paris@iheartradio.com. Leave a voicemail at 833-87-PARIS. And follow us at This is Paris Podcast. Bye, babes.
Follow Paris at Paris Hilton and follow Hunter March, host of E's Nightly Pop at Hunter March.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards. Like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's time to hear her side of the story. Joe and Serena sit down for an intimate conversation with Maria Georges on Bachelor Happy Hour.
I have to ask, I heard a rumor that you were dating at one point one of Drake's best friends.
Oh, Lord have mercy on me.
Listen to Bachelor Happy Hour on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Bachelor Happy Hour. Listen now everywhere you listen to podcasts and don't miss part two Monday night.